Welcome to Saturday. What a Saturday this is. You're listening to This is Common Ground. I'm your host, Pat Casal. My co-host is Dean Schulman. And tonight, guess what we'll be talking about? Probably one of the great ladies in American history. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, RBG. And I got to tell you, her politics doesn't concern me. What concerned me is her job she did. She was great at what she did. As somebody who was raised by my mom, my dad was in my life on weekends, but I lived with my mom. Seeing my mom work in a man's world, getting paid women's wages for many years until one day she stood up and said, you know what? I'm out of here. You can kiss mine, took us. And what happened is the guy cried, got on his knees, and he gave her a raise and begged her not to leave. Instead of getting one car every year, she got three. All of her expenses paid. I think Ruth Bader Ginsburg represents what's great about America, and her death. I have a lot of feelings about her death. I think the fact that politicians and SCOTUS can be that old, have had four bouts with cancer. I think we're treating our seniors terribly. I don't think people should be in office after age 80. I just think it's wrong. This poor woman had been sick for the longest time. And all I can say is I believe that God made her an angel. That's my opinion. I think she's a fabulous human being. Welcome to the show. Dean, how are you, my friend?
Not
welcome.
Too bad. How about you, Pat? Of course, we're talking about Ruth Bader Ginsburg today because that's really how can we talk about anything else in some respect?
What a great lady. I mean, what a phenomenal individual. What a great marriage she had till 2010. Yeah. She's married over 50 years. She had two wonderful kids. Her accomplishments are many.
Right.
But the most important thing is the respect that she should be garnering from every human being in America. Mm-hmm. And it's unbelievable. I mean, we understand the political game that's going to be played now, but in all honesty, I just think this is an incredible human being. I mean, really. And you know something? Pancreatic cancer, you and I both know, is death sentence.
Right.
The fact that she lasted as long as she did, and up to 2 weeks ago, they were saying she was doing well.
I know.
She was a warrior.
Yeah,
she really was.
Know, one of the things that I've been sort of focused on a little bit was, and everybody knows that her and Justice Scalia were best friends.
Yeah, very close.
And you know, they both admit to being ideologically different. Although Scalia, there's an interview I watched that where Scalia was saying they were together and they were joking around and having fun. And he said, you know, most of the time we agree. It's just we don't agree on the knee-jerk stuff. And he kind of laughed. He thought it was sort of funny. And, you know,
I saw that.
And it's amazing how their relationship and how they got along. And I think all Americans should take a look at that.
You know, Dean, what's interesting about what you're talking about, they were both two people who believed in the letter of the law.
Right.
Their interpretations weren't much different. They were pretty similar.
Yeah.
And they were fair. That to me is what the SCOTUS' job is, to be fair, set a precedence.
Yeah.
What we have now at the lower courts is not really been very positive for the system.
Right.
And unfortunately, SCOTUS is more and more involved. And you know, this is where we'll be talking about our opinions in this later on. But I want to honor the first couple minutes. I think honoring somebody as great, you know, very few people in this world have been great in the last 25 years. She was great. I say that with,
right.
I say that, you know, you got to understand, my mom was the number one car salesperson in America for about 20 years. She kicked ass.
Right.
And wow. She got offered a great job, giving her a lot more money, and she went to work after working for this guy, my uncle, for decades, and said, listen, I'm leaving. He goes, what? I got a better offer. He cried and begged her not to leave. He gave her everything she needed.
Right,
and you know what? I would have left. I would have left anyway because you're paying me now. What about the last 20 years? But you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg represents what women can be in America.
Right,
and that's what's great about this country. And you know something? The one thing I will tell you that I was in favor of, Trump said most likely a female nominee would be coming. That's great. That's at least they could do.
Right.
I think that we are in a pissing contest in Washington, and frankly, I'll tell you why I've changed my tune to some degree. When I read battle threats like arson, burn Congress down, stuff to that nature, that pisses me off to the point where, you know what? You can all kiss my tush tukus. I believe they should. Now, well, here's the other thing.
Look,
I don't think anybody's going to get blessed. The blessing
look,
on November 3rd.
I go on social media. The sky is falling. We're all going to civil war. People are going to run around with the ARs and
well, this is on Twitter. Reza Aslan.
If you go on social media, that's what you see.
Ezrin Levant. Emmett McFarland. I mean, let me say this, okay? That's part of my problem. A few other things pop up in my mind. First of all, you got people telling the Biden administration, if you lose, don't concede, fight to the last. I mean, frankly, what they're trying, divided, and I'll tell you the last piece of the puzzle.
You can't say it's not both sides. People are
I didn't say, oh, wait, I'm not saying it's one side. I'm going to sit here and tell you, the partisanship in America sucks. And I'm right. going to let me accentuate a reason. My last reasoning for today, my business partner is from Canada. He now lives in the United States in Tampa. Right. He has my insurance benefits. He has a drug card.
Right.
He takes medication. The medication he takes costs $500 with insurance in the United States.
Right.
They won't let him get a 90-day supply. Yet in Canada, he got a 90-day supply for $350.
So what's your
without
point?
A drug card. Without a drug card. So you know what that tells me?
Point?
Our politicians on both sides have failed to take care of the American people the right way.
Right. I agree with that. I think
that's my utter problem with our nation.
That's what the Democratic Socialists say too. You know, that's their whole point.
But they're just as guilty. They've created the monster that we've seen. Let me tell you right now, this is the first president in my lifetime, more likely in your lifetime as well, we're the same age, that has ever, Eliquis is the drug, by the way, ever not had people work together for the betterment of the country. When election time comes around, all bets are off.
Right.
But for the last almost 4 years, no matter what Trump does, it's wrong.
Right. Well,
honestly, it can't be.
Honestly, Obama had the same problem.
Not nearly as bad. And it was bad. It wasn't good.
I don't think that's true. I thought the Republicans treated Obama the same way, and that's the problem.
We'll disagree because of the health care law.
What?
Obama and the Democrats unanimously voted and supported ACA. Not one Republican was on board.
Right.
When McCain was in the room, McCain wanted to put his 2 cents in. Obama, and this is a quote I've gotten, Obama says to him, you lost, I won. And McCain goes, I know. He goes, well, you go in the back. Well, we're going to take care of this. Now, I'm going to sit here and tell you, McCain's disdain for the president, the current president, was too bad because maybe we could have fixed the ACA. But what I can tell you from experience, the politicians have failed on every level, both sides, and the partisanship is wrong. You cannot have a country this divided within itself.
If I could add to that.
Please.
The fact that people feel the election could be unfair and has to be contested on both sides.
It's terrible.
Makes everyone feel it's a step backwards for democracy. I mean, I don't care what's, each side thinks that they're the ones that are upholding the Constitution, but each side feels the other side is not. And the fact that we don't, everyone's not going into this election feeling like it's secure is a big problem.
Absolutely. You know, Dean, what I really would have liked to see, if you want my gut, I would have loved to hear the president present 1, 2, 3 people that he wanted to pick and then hear Biden do the same. And let's go into the election November 3rd and see what happens. Let the chips fall where they may.
Well, that would be a great solution, but
obviously it appears that won't be the case. I'm not a McConnell guy. I'm not a McConnell fan. And I will tell you this: somebody came up said to me today, you know, he's probably going to nominate
the woman from
It was a guy. From Texas. I can't think of his name all of a sudden. I can see the guy. He's a genius. He's a senator. Oh my
God, John Cornyn.
No. Damn it. Oh, God. And he ran for president the last time, and he called out his wife. Oh, my God. And his father.
Ted Cruz?
Yeah. So somebody said Ted mentions
it. Oh, yeah. Well, he said he might put Ted Cruz on his list.
I am going to tell you right now, if they did that, it would be bad form for the Republicans because they would definitely sacrifice a Senate seat if they did that because he'll win, but it's not going to be easy. But if he were to jump out of the race to become a Supreme Court justice, the new person going into that spot would definitely almost assuredly lose because there's not enough time to campaign. I honestly believe it's a bad time. I think with six weeks to go, it's wrong.
I don't know what the laws in Texas are, but generally the governor appoints someone.
No, if there's an, but here's the problem, Dean. If they were to appoint somebody before the actual election, and if it were Cruz, then the Senate, then there's no Senate Republican running for that spot. Even if they appointed somebody to run in Cruz's place, they get voted out November 3rd. It's a bad move.
Cruz has 4 years left on his Senate seat.
I thought I think he's this. I could be wrong. Maybe you're right. But Cruz asked me for money not long ago.
John Cornyn is up for re-election this time, and Cruz won 2 years ago.
Oh, good. I feel better, but I didn't realize that.
Cruz ran against Beto O'Rourke 2 years ago, and Beto, you know, came close, but Cruz won. I actually don't know the laws in Texas, but I believe the governor would make the appointment. And then
You're right. You are 100% right. I was of the impression that Cruz might be running, but here's what I can say. I don't think at this point in time they have enough time. I don't think I think the Democrats obviously would vote against it, but the Republicans are not going to be 100% on board. Susan Collins has already said she opposes it.
No, there's too many people that are up for election that are going to have a hard time.
And I really don't think anything's going to get done other than we're going to have somebody to pick. I honestly believe timing is everything. I think right now, this whole week, obviously she's Jewish, so her services Shiva begins tomorrow, I would believe.
Yeah.
In all honesty, I think we should just let's celebrate her life for the next week.
Yeah.
And if you handpick somebody, you handpick somebody. But by the same token, based on things I've read and the things that are going back and forth, yes, the president is within his right because he's not a lame duck, which is the only reason why I can see his argument. Other than that, I honestly believe what they should do, in my opinion, is I think the president of the United States should pick a top three candidates and ask Joe Biden to do the same. And that would be a hell of a conversation on the 29th during a debate.
Right.
But, again...
Well, that would be a great solution because people, like I said, on social media, if you read social media, we're going to war.
Yeah, right.
You know,
exactly.
We're going to civil war. I mean, you know, everyone. I'm serious. Everyone's ready. You know, they're telling people to go get their guns and buy their guns. And, you know, I mean, and if the Republicans don't think Democrats have guns, that's ridiculous, too. You know, if people do what they say, a lot of people are going to die. You know, people get killed. I mean, if you start running around,
we have a revolution coming, my friend. We have a revolution in the United States of America. You know that, and I know that.
Right. Well, it could be civil. I mean, we don't have to, but there's a lot of factors.
You look at what's gone on in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
And you have politicians telling you need a mask, you need to do this, and you need to do that, and they do the opposite.
Right.
And I'm not talking about just Pelosi. I'm talking about across the board.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's interesting. I had to come to the studio, and because of the last week's, I was questioned about last week, make sure that I wear a mask. We had that conversation. I wouldn't go to an event with that many people without wearing a mask.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you the reasons why. I feel like I'm a responsible human being. And I have my mom in the house. I have a wife at home who's not very healthy.
Right.
And God forbid I'm asymptomatic and I expose them. And we did everything possible in my – first of all, my son-in-law was exposed, and he was asymptomatic. Here's the story. My granddaughter gets picked up, not seeing us for 3 weeks. My wife picks her up. The phone rings. Bring her back right away. Aaron was exposed. We had to bring her back. We waited another a month and a half before we saw our granddaughter. My granddaughter doesn't come over for obvious reasons, a great-grandmother, grandmother, and a grandfather. I mean, the bottom line is we are living through hell. We don't know, and I have to be honest, I don't know what's true and what's false, but I know this. I'm gonna have good judgment. I'm healthy. I take a lot of vitamins. I do what I have to do, but I am not going to expose myself, God forbid. And frankly, there were, between the inside and outside last week, there was over 15,000 people. There were over 30,000 up north. There was over 10,000 on the boats out there. Now, the boat I would be on because I would be six or eight people I know. But the reality is this, my friend. If you think I would expose myself, so I could see the president. And I loved the guy. I've seen them umpteen times. No, I wouldn't do it. And I wouldn't do it for the right reasons. Now, if I lived alone and I had nothing to worry about but a dog, I'd be different. And when you called me last week, I told you the same story. And you were like, did you, you know, you were asking me if I wore a mask. And I'm going to tell you, everybody who worked the event had to wear a mask. Everybody right. gets tested on a daily basis, gets the instant results.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of people out there without a mask. And frankly, what's going on in America right now, people are done with this crap. They are done.
People are getting frustrated. There's no question.
And we don't know. I mean, her death. I hate to say it this way, but I'm going to. Is just the cherry on top of a pile of unfortunate mishaps throughout the whole 2020.
Yeah.
This is not an X-ray vision year, 2020. I got to tell you.
Right. Well, everybody feels that way. You know, the amazing thing is that if you looked on social media, people would say, "What could turn the election on its head?" And people would list things that could possibly turn the election on its head, or what could change the course of the election. And everybody had on their list if RBG dies. And so now she died, you know, 6 weeks before the election, and here we are.
And how about this one, though? I mean, you do know, you realize that Thomas and Roberts are not long for the job.
No, I know. They're both, well, Roberts wants to retire, and Thomas is in his 80s also.
I don't know if he's 80. I thought he was still about 78. But either way, it doesn't matter. He's up to that point where, you know what, I want to ride off in the sunset.
Right.
So here's the reality. If Trump wins, and I believe he will, regardless of what everybody thinks, I think he wins. He has an opportunity in his first year, next year, of his second term, to handpick three SCOTUS, which is significantly changes the world for at least 30 years, because you're looking at six people that are young enough to be on the panel for as long as 30 years. Now, I will tell you, if somebody said to me, you know, maybe Supreme Court justices should sit no more than 20 to 25, depending on age, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I also don't think politicians should run or should be elected after age 80. I really, really don't. I got to be honest with you. Joe Biden, I've gotten to see him. Thomas is 72, by the way.
Yeah, I just looked it up. Yeah.
So here's what I can tell you, Dean. I honestly don't think Grassley should still be running for office at 86.
Oh, no, I agree, too.
And you know what?
There's been senators. What was the senator from North Carolina that was in his 90s?
Yes, that's ridiculous.
I mean, I agree with you. There should be term limits on senators. There's no
I think
question.
There should be term limits, period. But I also think there should be an age limit.
If there's an age minimum, there should be an age limit. And maybe it should be 70. Maybe it should be 75.
I'll tell you what. Based on what I see now, 80 tops. Tops. 80, you're done. Like, if you're 79, you could go, and then you're done. But I don't understand. And I say this. I say this with my heart. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was 87 years old.
I know.
She was fighting pancreatic cancer.
Right.
It was her fourth
bout. She should have
retired
a long time ago.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows if she would still be alive if she was able to be retired and fight the fight. I mean, I'm sorry, but and I give her, I mean, how do you not look at her with admiration? I don't give a rat's ass if you're a Republican or a Democrat, or you're a communist, or you're a socialist, if you're Putin or Maduro. You got to respect this woman. She earned every stripe on her sleeve. And I mean it. Now, I will tell you this. The one thing I can say with my heart, I'm glad. I really believe a woman should be the replacement for her. I don't think a man could fill her shoes.
Right.
And well, I think a woman with an open mind regarding the abortion issue will only become an issue if it gets through the court system, the lower courts, and they bring it to the Supreme Court. I don't think Roe versus Wade has got a problem. I really don't.
I do.
Well, I think that's
scared of. I mean, I think that it's the.
I don't think they're ever going to go after that. That would be the dumbest thing in the world.
It's the objective of a conservative court, and at the first chance they had to overturn it.
They can't do that without it going through the lower courts first. It would have to get up to the, and I'll tell you what.
But it can and it will.
No, not necessarily. It's got to get through the lower courts, Dean. If it doesn't get through the lower courts, it doesn't get the Supreme. Yeah. And I got to be honest. Here's the problem I'm seeing in America right now.
Yeah.
When you look at these lower courts, when you look at politicians, and I hate to say Democrats, posting bail for people that are protesting and burning buildings and whatnot, what the hell is wrong with our leadership? What is going on in America? It cannot be the case. I mean, again, I'm looking at this as best as I can as a level playing field. I sit here and tell you
what does that have to do with what we're talking about?
Well, what it has to do is this. If, in fact, right now, and I really don't believe it'll happen, but it could. If in fact Biden's team of lawyers decides to dispute the race, if he were to lose,
right?
If Trump's team decides to dispute the race, if he were to lose,
you know that it's 90% that would happen either way.
Well, keep listening. You know, bear with me here, buddy. So you're looking at a 4-4 split. We're going to be in turmoil like there's nobody's business. So it's like, holy cow. And I tell you what, I think Roberts definitely plays both sides. I don't think he's a Republican or a Democrat. I think he's a judge.
Right. I think he's a judge also. He's trying to, he just tries to do what he thinks is constitutionally correct, which is what all the judges should do.
Should do. I agree.
Right.
But they will they? Do. Hey, let me give out the phone number. I haven't even decided to give out the phone number yet. And if you want to chime in, we'd love to hear your input and feedback. 702-257-5396. 702-257-5396. You know, it's funny. When you go through a whole week of what's going on, you know, I literally had so many different things I was highlighting to talk to you about.
Yeah.
And then, boom.
I know. Ruth Bader Ginsburg dies, and that's...
And you know, I give you my word, and I'm not going to tell you the email. I'll read a text message that I had last night with regard to this situation. My feeling, and I won't tell you who I wrote it to. I said, I wrote, Ginsburg has died. You're up now. Yeah, he goes, Justice Casale, right?
Yeah.
He goes, I'm interested. Hey, he needs to play this right. The wrong move would kill him. This is what I wrote. Right. How do you think he should play it? I said, like a gentleman. Because this will ignite those who oppose and could also get voters on the left out despite the disdain for Biden.
Right.
It could also cost us senators as well.
Right.
This needs to be played smartly. No SCOTUS can get through the process in less than 45 days. That was my response.
Right.
I still believe that.
Yeah.
But I also got to tell you, listening to the president and his position and reading some other things, I get it. But I'm going to sit here and tell you now, as sure as my name is Patrick, there's no chance there's going to be a coronation of a new SCOTUS prior to November 3rd. Can't happen.
Well, it can happen, but will it? I don't know. They don't have enough votes.
In this world we live in, it can't happen.
Well, here's the thing. You know, after the break, we'll play Lindsey. Well, Lindsey, I think most people have heard it, but we'll play what Lindsey Graham had to say in 2016 because I think it's important. But when Mitch McConnell decided not to bring Merrick Garland to a vote at all. He said, just forget it. I'm not even bringing it to a vote. Because if you bring it to a vote, there's a chance he could pass, you know? And that set a precedent that, you know, that it could be done.
But again, you're talking about a lame duck president. But no,
are we going to break? Is it?
No, not yet. We have a minute.
Okay. So when we come back for break, we'll play the clip from Lindsey Graham. But because I don't want to play it now. Let's start out the second half with that clip. And we'll see. Well, and we can discuss it from there. But he could be a lame duck. It's an election. It doesn't matter if he's a lame duck or not. I mean, Hillary Clinton could have won. She was a favorite. Trump won. And if Trump's so confident that I almost don't blame Trump for wanting to nominate someone. It's not he has the perfect right to nominate someone.
The nomination doesn't bother me.
No. It's whether the Senate brings it to a vote or not.
I don't think they will.
It has nothing to do with Trump nominating someone. Obama nominated Merrick Garland, and McConnell decided not to bring it to a vote. First time ever. You know, so, you know, in a vote, they could lose. You know, the Republicans.
But Dino, I got to tell you, right now, I don't think Collins would support it. And
right.
I definitely know that our good friend from Romney wouldn't support it.
There's already enough senators that probably wouldn't support it, but who knows? I don't know. We don't, you know.
It's going to happen. We're going to find out. Hey, we're going to go to a break right now. You're listening to Common Ground, and you know what? The common ground here is, wow, the average person's got sense, and our politicians have no sense. Be right back after this.
Attorney Paul Powell. A lot of lawyers promise a lot of things. No fee unless we win. The consults are free. Of course they offer that stuff. All lawyers do that. But will they promise not to take more money than you at the end of your case? No. When you call me, that answer's yes. I'll never take more money than you, and I put it in writing.
Call 728-5500 or go to paulpowell.com.
I really can help.
Paul Powell. More lawyer, less fee.
Some restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Sean Hannity here. I know the business climate has changed dramatically, but if you need to sell your home, don't believe the myth that homes aren't selling. Joining me now is a true expert at selling homes, Rick Brinkus of Keller Williams Realty, the marketplace. So what's your advice on selling a home right now?
Sean, that's a great question. After selling houses for over 34 years and literally helping thousands of families navigate through difficult times like this, I've got a plan in place that is helping sellers get their homes sold in a timely manner and getting great prices for their homes.
So what does that mean for sellers?
Well, for home sellers, it's a great opportunity right now. What we're finding is there's a lot less competition out there, and we're able to use our technology like virtual tours so you can actually show your house and be completely safe without actually having people walk through your home. It's not necessary to have an open house to sell a house in today's market.
All right, thanks so much. Look, don't trust your home to just anyone. Call the Brinkus team today at 702-456-5959, online at thebrinkusteam.com.
License number BS16186.
Tee it up with me, Dennis Silver, Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. for the 19th hole weekend edition right here on KDON Radio. Brought to you by Lagshot.com. We're like golf granola for your brain. Lagshot.com.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español?
Hablo.
It's hablo?
Yes.
It's hablo.
Bom dia, like good day, good morning, I think.
I can say, je m'appelle David, but that's probably it.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
This year is my year to get fluent in Spanish, and Babbel is definitely gonna help me do that. The app is so easy to use, and it's so practical. It helps you learn things that you will actually need.
Since my husband is from Guatemala, I'll apply what I've learned in Babbel to our real life situations.
I've tried other language learning apps and nothing really stuck. Babbel's been a complete game changer for me.
Hoy es miércoles y el clima está muy bueno afuera.
Estoy con fome. Yo no tomé café de mañana.
Je suis des États-Unis et d'où viens-tu?
Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com to start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com.
Join Coach Harvey Hyde and Chuck Hayes tonight from 9 to 10 p.m. for Trojan Football Report, presented by the South Point Hotel and Casino, here on 101.5 FM and 720 AM KDWN, where Las Vegas comes to talk.
Welcome back. Second round, Common Ground. And I close off the last segment with No Sense in America. Let's play Dean's clip, and we go to the phones. The phone number here, if you want to join in, is 702-257-5396. That's 702-257-5396. This is a hell of a topic.
This is Lindsey Graham from 2016. He's the head of the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. So let's hear what he had to say in 2016.
This is the last year of a lame duck president. And if Ted Cruz or Donald Trump get to be president, they've all asked us not to confirm or take up a selection by President Obama. So if a vacancy occurs in their last year of their first term, guess what? You will use their words against them. I want you to use my words against me. If there's a Republican president in 2016 and a vacancy occurs in the last year of the first term, you can say, Lindsey Graham said, let's let the next president, whoever it might be, make that nomination. And you could use my words against me, and you'd be absolutely right. We're setting a precedent here today, Republicans are, that in the last year, at least of a lame duck 8-year term, I would say it's going to be a 4-year term, that you're not going to fill the vacancy of the Supreme Court based on what we're doing here today. That's going to be the new rule.
Wow. He's going to eat crow.
What?
He's going to eat crow on that one.
He's going to have to eat crow. That's why the Democrats are angry. That's why they think it's so hypocritical. Now listen, Trump has the right to make a nomination. I don't.
I still don't believe they're gonna. I don't want thing one gets to the blessing. Lindsey Graham sides with Trump on filling Supreme Court vacancy. I fully understand is what he said. He once said he wouldn't confirm a president for the Supreme Court in an election year, and now Saturday that he's changed his mind on filling the high court vacancy. Right. You know, and I got to tell you, these politicians, and this is why I say both sides have totally lost their mind. You know, they say they do as we say, not as we do. We don't do what we say we're going to do, and it's scary. Let's go to the phone. We got Hank on the line. Hey, Hank, thank you for calling.
Yeah, well, if there's a 4-4 a tie, we're going to be in trouble. And then the other thing there's a cop car coming by, but they had some poison sent to the White House through the mail. Remember back in 2001,
white powder.
They had the anthrax attack, and now there's ricin being sent to Trump at the White House. You know, all this mail-in voting, I mean, if you get Antifa and whatnot, you know, screwing with the mails with these toxins, and, you know, look what's happening in Russia with the Novichok. I mean, things could be just totally shut down, and you got a 4-4 Supreme Court. It could be very chaotic.
Could be chaotic anyway. I mean, you can't just say one side is going to do it. Both sides are capable of any of that.
Yeah. Well, who knows? I mean, who knows if it's going to be China or just a crazy anarchist?
Well, we're heading that way. I mean, if you look at social media, we're heading that way. People want to go out and with guns and fight. People want to.
Let me say this to both of you, and I believe this, and I believe this with all my heart. Right now, the United States borders are vulnerable. More than ever before. Now I'm not talking about illegal entry. You look at China and their naval force and their armed forces, and they have nuclear weapons. You know, with all this dissension in our own country, we're setting ourselves up for what could be a very ugly hit if we ever got hit hard.
Well, some people believe that's Putin's objective.
I don't think it's Putin. I'm not. The Russians don't have the power nor the money. Yeah. I'm more afraid of China. China is the enemy. They're the most dangerous opponent out there. Their goal is to rule the world within 100 years. That's their ultimate goal. I give a rat's behind. Putin is a putz, but it's China that scares me. What do you think, Hank?
Putin's a really smart guy.
Yeah, well, I think that they have a lot more power. They have a lot more people. Putin, I mean, he looks at a small population in that vast country. I mean, you know, he's on eggshells because, you know, the Chinese could come in. The Indians could come in. Who knows what? He's 170 million people in a country is what, three times the size of the U.S. I mean,
they all have the capability of ending the world. So I don't, you know.
Well, they have 7,000 nukes. They got more than China.
Yeah.
But I think the mails are going to be screwed with. They already are, and the mail-in voting is going to be a disaster. Thanks.
It could be, or it could be smooth as silk. I don't know.
You know, it's a good question. Hank, I hope you call us again, and thank you for the call.
Yeah.
The number is 702-257-5396. Honestly, Dean, I mean, when I look at this whole thing, I'm glad you and I are our age, but we have youngsters that could be turning, that could actually turn around and end up in a war. And God forbid that should ever happen.
Well, you know, hopefully, you know, we don't go to civil war. I mean, the country could break up without a civil war. I mean, we could do something like the European Union, where it's sort of everyone has the rights of a country, but it's separate countries. That kind of thing could be figured out, but I don't know if the United States has it in them to do something like that, if people can really come to an agreement to do that. I always said that the only reason why the country hasn't broken up is because of sports. I mean, collegiate sports and the pros, where everything's interstate and the rivalries and the, you know, everything that goes into it is you know, the conferences and the leagues, they're all, you know, everything's different parts of the country, but it all comes together. It all holds everything together. And, you know, sports, we see sports kind of dying in COVID. And, you know, that's I think that's a big part of our problem.
I just don't know. And, I'm more worried about creating a vulnerable nation and it just doesn't work for me. I got to tell you, there's a lot of things. The division, when I listen to various shows and I see what's going on in America today, I'm scared. And again, whether he pam, I agree with you. He could pick wherever he wants. I don't think they get through the court system, and I don't think they get through the Senate. But I got to tell you, you know, when you look at the moronic things that people say and then they do, it scares the hell out of me.
Yeah.
And I tell you right now, when we look at what's going on in America, I think our my biggest gripe in politics right now is we should shoot them all and start from scratch, because what we have right now is not working for the betterment of the nation.
Right.
It works for the betterment of their pockets. These guys are in these people in Washington have garnered so much wealth.
Did you hear Tucker Carlson agree with Cornel West about democratic socialism the other night?
No, that I didn't.
Hey, Denise, play that clip. Because this is what you're talking about, basically.
Fundamental commitment is to the dignity of ordinary people and to make sure they can live lives of decency. So it's not an ism, though, brother. It's about decency. It's about fairness. Right. It's about the accountability of the powerful vis-a-vis those who have less power. The workplace, women dealing with the household, gays, lesbians, trans, black people, indigenous peoples, immigrants. How do we ensure that they are treated decently and that the powerful don't in any way manipulate, subjugate, and exploit them?
Well, I mean, if that's what democratic socialism is, then I'm basically on board. I do think that ordinary people, middle-class people, ought to have dignity. And I think that our current systems make it hard for them to have dignity. So I agree with all of that.
Yeah, I mean, again, when you paint the picture one way, it sounds great. But, you know, when you look at other countries, I got to be honest with you.
Well, I'm not
saying that's
a socialist argument. I'm just saying that, you know, we need to change the system to support the middle class.
And I agree with you, but what I was going to try to say is this. We have another caller as well, and again, it's 702-257-5396. Let me share this. I just look at, I don't think we should have a government that in that much control of our everyday lives. That's my issue.
Right.
That's my biggest issue.
You know, I mean, obviously there has to be a balance. You can't take the government out completely. You know, I don't agree with the libertarian philosophy or their platform. I don't think you can take the government out of everything. Someone has to be the facilitator. The private sector does most jobs anyway.
No more. That's not true anymore. The government jobs are far and outweighing everything, and that's our problem. The government is becoming the place for people to work, and it shouldn't be the best place to get a job.
Well, the government facilitates work. They don't, you know, there has to be people that facilitate. But, you know, if you're building a bridge, it gets contracted out. But the government collects the taxes so you can pay for the bridge. I mean, and then, you know, someone has to facilitate that. I mean, but then there's other things, the DMV, you know, the federal and local and state police and fire and, you know.
Well, the policemen and the fire department do a hell of a job.
Yeah,
the mail, we got a lot of weaknesses there. Hey, we're going to go to the phone. We have Millie. Hey, Millie, thanks for the call. How are you?
I'm great. I'm listening to you guys' honest debate here. But my question is, you know, if the shoe was on the other foot and the Dems had this opportunity, you can just bet your head, ass, and underwear that they would jump all over this. There would be no question that they would nominate somebody and push it through.
I would agree.
That's just...
Yeah, I would agree, too, because they didn't set the precedent in the last election. You heard what Lindsey Graham said, didn't you? Did you hear what...
No, I was in the store.
We just played a clip that Lindsey Graham stated in 2016 that the Republicans were setting a new precedent, that you could call them out on it if they were going to put a president through in an election year. And Pat, you heard it. I mean,
yeah, I did. And he did clearly state what Lindsey Graham clearly stated in 2016, that he would not support a presidential nomination within the last 6 weeks of a campaign. I mean, that's really the problem.
But I agree with you. I'm a Democrat, and I'm telling you the Democrats probably would. But why wouldn't they? Because they didn't set the precedent.
You know they would.
It's not that they would. It's that the Republicans, the Democrats now feel the Republicans are being hypocritical.
That's good. They're going to run on that. You know, Dean, they're going to use that.
They're going to run on. I mean, I'm not saying you have to agree with it. I'm just asking you to understand that that's their point.
It's their way or the highway.
Well, same with the Republicans. When Mitch McConnell said, I don't care who you nominate, we're not putting it to a vote. It's the same thing.
Just a minute. They've already said they're not going to accept the results of any election.
So did Trump. Trump said it, too.
No,
he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he did.
Oh, 100% he did. I wish I had a clip where he said it.
No,
listen, of course he did. Come on. Trump has already said that the election is rigged.
He did say that, but he never said he wouldn't accept anything.
He's already said it 100 times.
He's already rigged it. Come on.
He said if the Democrats win, it's rigged. He said it 100 times. And I'll bet you any amount of money he wants, Dean.
Let Millie talk. Go ahead, Millie.
Normally when we have an election, we know on November the 3rd what the results are going to be. But now we've switched it up with our good governor. You know, in the middle of the night, when the people of the state of Nevada should have decided whether we were going to have paper ballots or not, they went up at 3 o'clock in the morning and they decided amongst themselves. Well, as last I checked, we were the taxpayers and footing the bill. We should have had a say in it. But that said, you know, now we're not going to know the results of any election on November the 3rd.
Probably not.
Because mail-in ballots can come in 3 days later, a week later, 15 days later. What the hell is going on here?
Listen, Millie, Pat and I have discussed this on the air on a previous show. There should have been a better solution than this. We both agree that there should have been a better solution.
Yeah.
There could have been a better solution.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, Millie, and I'll tell you this, Dean. You can vote in person. If you get a ballot in the mail, you need to bring that ballot with you, by the way.
Yes, pardon? I know that. I've told all my friends, bring your ballot, and everybody needs to vote in person. But
you can't go in person without a ballot?
No, they want you to bring the ballot because they're mailing them out. Now, if you didn't get one, you can say you didn't get one, but obviously if you have it, they want it, and they will destroy it in front of you.
Oh, okay.
They don't want people voting multiple times.
Right.
No, that's true. But just on one other subject, talking about the Senate and the Congress, the Senate is supposed to be for the government. The Congress is supposed to be for the people. Tell me what the Congress has done in the last 4 years for the people, except try and get rid of Trump. That they haven't done one thing.
And that's part of the problem.
For the people.
Well, I can tell you a few things they've done. Number one, the Congress had to approve, you know, the bill for the COVID relief. I mean, they both came together.
How are they doing right now?
What?
What are they doing right now in Congress regarding COVID relief?
Well, they both had bills that the other one didn't want to pass.
They want $3 trillion to rebuild the city that their groups raped and pillaged and tore up the cities. That's what's holding up the bill. They want the $3 trillion for the cities.
Well,
they tore them up, they can fix them. Why should we, the taxpayer, pay the bill?
Because they pay. Those cities pay taxes just as
those, cities deserve to pay their own way. They don't need our money, Dean. I'm sorry. Minneapolis did was wrong.
Republicans in those districts.
No, but Minneapolis said, "Hey, let them have the police station."
It's still going to be almost half and half. The whole
It doesn't matter. Minnesota has always been dominant Democrat, and I'm sorry. They wanted to defund the police. Now they don't want to defund the police.
Republicans didn't go out there and protest and burn down buildings.
You're talking about a very small percentage of the population, and you're going to hurt everybody because of a couple hundred doofuses.
But the doofuses that did the burning is one thing. What about the politicians that allowed it?
Looting, which is another word for stealing. They were stealing. Now, you know, I don't.
These aren't politically oriented.
But why should we pay for?
They're crooks.
Millie, I thank you so much for the call. I hope you call us again. I got another caller coming up. You know, Dean, I got to say something to you, though. In all honesty, when you let the nuts run the nut house like they did in Minneapolis, and what ended up precipitating from there is all the other crap that's happened, I'm sorry. Minnesota should have to pay for that themselves because they're stupid. That's their fault. And what happened in Portland, they should have to pay for that themselves because their mayor's like, oh, it's a love fest. I'm sorry, but that was dumb. We have Brian up next. Brian, welcome to the show.
Gentlemen, how's it going?
It's going.
It's a firestorm already. Hey, dude, I'd like to hear the clip from Chuck Schumer from 4 years ago. about how we've got to put this guy through and Dick the Turban Durbin and some of the other Democrats.
Because that's exactly what happened. But that's what he felt, and now the Republicans changed the tune. They changed the discourse.
My point is this. They said the same thing, and you damn well better believe that if, like a previous caller said, if it was the Democrats in this position right now, they'd be doing the same thing.
I agree.
Now, on my Facebook page, a lady posted, because, Justice Ginsburg, the only person who should be there is another woman. And I said, great. How about Amy Coney Barrett? And she went ballistic.
She's number one.
She doesn't want another woman. She wants another leftist woman.
Who?
The person that I was speaking to.
Oh, yeah, well...
See, so it's not just a woman.
Yeah,
it's got to be a woman that's
somebody
as far
on the left
as she was, and that's not going to happen.
Listen, if there's no doubt, if the Democrats were in power, they'd put somebody through. That's not the question. The question is the Republicans didn't do that. Obama nominated Merrick Garland. It was in February, and McConnell said we're not doing it.
I know.
We're not doing it in an election year. And he said, so we control the Senate, and we're not doing an election year. And he set a precedent. So now they're saying, oh, well, the Republicans have the Senate, so we're going to put someone through this time. And the Democrats, you don't understand why that makes the Democrats mad? I'm not saying whether they're going to do it or
not. The Democrats said the exact opposite, and now they're saying the exact opposite.
What do you mean they said the
opposite?
They wanted to vote on Merrick Garland. They wanted to vote on Merrick Garland.
I know, and now they don't want
that.
I'm just saying these guys do this on a regular basis.
No, they wanted to vote on Merrick Garland. No.
The Democrats, you say, not the Republicans.
Do you understand why the Democrats don't think that this should happen? I'm not saying you agree with it. Listen, I'm not saying you don't agree with it, but I'm saying you don't understand it.
No, I do understand it.
Okay, so what's the point then?
The point is they both do it, and they're both doing it again this year, 4 years later. And my point is now is, let's go back to Justice Ginsburg's appointment. It happened in 42 days from the time she was appointed
right.
to the time she was confirmed. Okay?
96 to 3, I think.
A Republican, Orrin Hatch, took her around to every Republican senator and introduced her, and everyone was gracious to her.
Right.
Now, you tell me what happens when the Democrats are on the other ends of things.
Well, that's a whole. I mean, what they did to Kavanaugh was disgusting.
Like.
They did to Kavanaugh, and they did him wrong. They totally screwed Kavanaugh. That
not
was a
just
joke.
Kavanaugh wasn't much better for Gorsuch.
Gorsuch was
they
not. He was. It was bad, but what they did to
Gorsuch
Kavanaugh
got
was brutal.
Too easy. Gorsuch
compared
got
to
very
Kavanaugh,
easily.
Yeah, but it was nothing like.
But Kavanaugh, yeah, I'll admit the Democrats gave Kavanaugh hell. They wanted to vote. They wanted him. They didn't want him to get the.
And I'll tell you, that's probably what's precipitating everything. Now, I'll tell you this. I read another column today. Judge Napolitano replacing RBG on a Supreme Court is a bit of a gamble so close to a presidential election. I get it. Hey, Brian, thank you for the call. We have other callers we want to try to get in before we get out. We appreciate you. We go to Mike. Mike, how you doing, my friend? 1 second.
Yeah,
Mike?
I just cannot support a president that's got dementia, who's got no game plan whatsoever, who supports Antifa, doesn't want the stock market will go downhill after he gets. The only thing, these pea-brain Democrats, the only thing they know what to do is to raise taxes, to raise money. They're worthless. There's no way I can vote for them.
Okay, that's your opinion.
I appreciate the call, Mike. Thank you. Who's the other caller? 714 number. I don't have his name. We have another call. Rick? Hi, Rick. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, absolutely. I'm a lifelong Republican, I should say, up front, or conservative, I should say. Not really a Republican, but a conservative.
I like it.
But to listen to this show and to listen to, I don't know who your guest speaker is.
My co-host.
Talk about, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you talk about, I mean, the fact that you impeached Donald Trump over nothing, and then now you're complaining about mail-in voting, and you're complaining about other, I mean, this is where our country has come to. I mean,
I'm complaining about mail-in voting?
He didn't complain about the mail-in voting at all. We're just talking about that was one of the callers about the mail-in voting. Dean and I both would talk. There should have been a much better plan than that's coming together. We had a few weeks back. We talked about it. We don't believe that the plan that they put forth right now does the best to serve the country.
Now I will say about Justice Ginsburg that Justice Ginsburg, tit for tat is fair, and I'm a conservative, and I know that we held off for 10 months, on the last go around, but I will tell you that what Trump's been through over the last 3.5-4 years is so unfair compared to what any other president has been through.
Obama went through the same thing.
Not even close, Dean. Not even close. I'm sorry.
I believe that it was. I mean, I can tell you the things that I heard and the things that I saw from conservatives against Obama.
Let me say this. Obama had the first 2 years, he got away with murder.
I mean, the fact that, what was it, the Million Man March and the Million Women March and then this.
The money he sent over to Iran.
Yeah, I mean, but then there's cash. There's one march by the conservatives in Washington, D.C., and now they're all racist. Now everyone's a racist, and everyone's this, and everyone's that. I mean, it's just so lopsided on what the media does. The media is
the main problem. We've discussed that too. I mean, the media has to sensationalize everything. I mean, it's gotten to the point where there could be two people at a protest, and the media makes it sound like there's a million. I mean, people, you do not get a proper idea of what's really happening because the media has to sensationalize your ratings. I mean, we've talked about that.
But if you look at this week, right? ABC, I got to give Trump credit. He goes everywhere to talk to everybody. ABC loads him up, and those questions sounded like they were created for. And then CNN and the softballs that they pitched to Biden are unbelievable. I mean, to be honest with you, yesterday I actually felt for Biden. He's in Duluth. He's speaking in a warehouse, and you can hear the echo. There's nobody in the room. Trump goes to Minnesota, and you can't. It's standing room only with no masks. Yeah. Now, they were wearing masks in Minnesota.
Well, not only that, just to add to that, Trump will take any question at any time.
No, he won't.
Yes, he does, Dean.
That's so ridiculous.
He takes questions. He is the easiest president to access.
Who the hell gave you the right to ask that question? Are you stupid?
He may say that, but he takes questions.
What?
But he took the question.
Right.
I mean, he might not like the question, but he took the question. The difference is they won't even put Biden in front of those questions.
That's true.
Nobody is even allowed to ask those questions.
Maybe.
It's a 180, and you know what? Everyone knows it, just so you know. Everyone sees it, and you wait till this whole thing happens, because it's going to be a landslide.
I agree. I really feel the same, especially after last weekend in Nevada. When I saw 50,000 people turn out in Nevada, between northern Nevada, southern Nevada, it's at Henderson, and there was almost 1,000 boats on Lake Mead, and I can tell you this right now, we're going to have another regatta at Lake Tahoe. That's what we're working on in northern Nevada.
You know what? Never underestimate your opponent.
I will tell you, it's going to be a landslide.
I appreciate the call, Rick. I hope you join us again in the future. We'll be back here every Saturday.
I don't think it's possible to be a landslide. I mean, I'm not saying you can't win, but...
It'll be an electoral landslide is what I think. As far as the popular vote with California,
even
I don't know.
Electorally, I don't think it's possible for it to be a landslide.
What do you do? 300? If he gets 300 plus electoral votes, would you call that a landslide?
300?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. What do you need, 280 to win? What is it,
270.
270.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's 538 total.
What? Yeah.
And, you know, there's our music, buddy. This show went by pretty fast, didn't it?
Real fast.
Hey, Dean, it was a pleasure. I enjoyed myself. And all right, all the callers, we want to thank you. God bless you guys. Denise, you're awesome. You rock. This is Common Ground. We're here every Saturday, 6 to 7. Please join us next week. Have a great week. Stay safe and be healthy. God bless you.